All right, so we're starting at the top of Pei Chet Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing with the Braita that we had seen. The Braita that brought down all these limudim from the words of the Pasuk by Zalkin Mamre. And then we had the question that was posited to Rava, who he'd asked Rav Papa to answer, which is, how does Rav Meir fit into all these items? How do we get a Davar's shoes, Dono Karet, and Shigugo Chatat, all the items that are darshaned in the Braita? So now on the fourth line, on the top of Pei Chet Amud Aleph, Divrei. What is Divrei? Elu herachin v'charamim v'hakdishot. So these are all things that you do with Dibur HaPeh. So now herachin. What is the machlokas that revolves around herachin? B'plukto de Rabbi Meir v'rabonon. Machlokas Rabbi Meir v'rabonon de Tanan. So this is from last week's parsha. Amarech pachot mi ben chodesh. What do you do with someone who says that I'm going to give the erech of a child who's below a month, 1 month old? What do you do with that? Because the Torah only lays out the values mi ben chodesh or the malo, only from a month up. So what do you do with the child below a month? So Rabbi Meir omer notein damav. Rabbi Meir, the shitato and other places with, whether you are tofes tfos loshan rishon or tfos loshan achron, here Rabbi Meir says similar concept that ein adam motzi dvarav levatala. Person does not speak in vain. So therefore, he knows that there's no erech below a chodesh. So what does he mean then? He means l'damim. He means damav, means the value of the child. So if you can't give erech, then you give the damim. Chamimim. Lo amar klum. He said nothing. There is no such thing as erechin below a month. So when he says the erech of a child below the age of a month, he basically said nothing. So now that would be a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, whether he owes this money to Hekdesh, or he does not own the money to Hekdesh. And then, on top of that, if the Gizbar of Hekdesh comes and grabs the some item as a mashkon for Hekdesh, the question is it a rightful mashkon? Right? And you can be, the woman will no longer be out to be able to be mitkadesha with it because it belongs to Hekdesh. Or do we say that Hekdesh has no rights to the money here? And therefore it's his money, he can be mitkadesh the isha with this object. So here we have another machlokas revolves around some monetary matter. That monetary matter has nafkaminot in Kiddushin. Next is the charamim. V'plukta de Rabbi Yehuda ben Mentero v'rabonon detnan. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mentero mer stam charamim lebetek abayit. Rabbi Mentero says, if you say cherem, or you make something a cherem, that cherem is a question, it's machlokas in here. Gemara and Erechin discusses the machlokas, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Mentero says that stam charam in the betek abayit. It means that you were makdishit for Hekdesh, you were makdishit for betek abayit. Shinemar is a puzzle. Kol cherem, kodesh, kodoshim, hu l'Hashem. All charamim belong to Hashem. So that would be for betek abayit. Charamim omrim, stam charamim l'kohen. Chachamim say no, stam cherem goes to the kohenim. Shinemar, we have a pasuk that says, k'stei acherem l'kohen tiyeh achuzato. That it'll be like the stei acherem, which goes to the kohen as an inheritance. So you see there that acherem goes to a kohen. So where it says, imkein, if that's the case, ma'al tamad omar kodesh kodoshim hu l'Hashem. So if you believe that stam cherem go to kohenim, what do you do with the pasuk that says that the cherem is kodesh kodoshim l'Hashem? So that, the Gemara says, that the Rabbanim believe, shechal al kodshei kodoshim v'al kodshei kalim, that you have the ability to put the value, or donate the value of kodshei kodoshim and kodshei kalim to Hekdesh. So what is it? That means that's called tovat hana'a. The tovat hana'a that you have in the kodshei kodoshim, or the, whatever, ownership you have in kodshei kalim, if you are makdish those items, then you will owe them to the mikdash. So you have the ability to, on top of something that's already Hekdesh, to donate the value that you have out of this item, that tovat hana'a that you have out of it, you're able to donate to the mikdash. And that's what it means, kor cherem kodesh kodeshim l'Hashem, that you're able to create a cherem on top of a something that's already kodesh. So again, over here, we have a machlokas in the charamim, whether it belongs to the kohen or whether it belongs to the mikdash. And therefore, if a kohen takes the money and is mekadesh the isha with it, is it his money or is it the money of Hekdesh? Does it belong to the mikdash? That will be subject to the machlokas over here. And again, we're using kiddushin as the vehicle for coming up with a case of karet. Zdono karet, shgugol chatat, on a monetary item. The next item was hekdeshot. What's the machlokas in hekdeshot? Biplugto, the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbanon, the Tanya. Even a fork, this is the small fork that they used to use for stitching or weaving gold. So that sinora shalakdesh, that small, that you were makdish, that small item, you still need 10 people, you need a quorum of people, liftota, in order to redeem it. So since you need a quorum of people to redeem it, if it is redeemed with less than 10 people, then according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that's not a pidyon. It's not a pidyon, it still belongs to Hekdesh. So if the individual, after being redeeming the item, goes and uses the item, dimi mekadesh nisha, well, did he really redeem it? Or does it still belong to Hekdesh? If he really redeemed it, then it can be, it's a good kiddushin. That would not be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But if you hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that you need 10 people, then there was no pidyon. If there's no pidyon, it still belongs to Hekdesh, and the kiddushin is not a good kiddushin. So again, we have a case of karet. So don't know karet, shekeo chatat, that comes out of kiddushin because of the monetary machloket over here. Now, the next series of items in the bright are a revolt. What a revolt. Ze hashka'at sota, barifat egla, vitarat ha-mitzora. So these are items, those are revolt. These are things that are settling revolt, right? The sota, we discussed, hashka'at sota, barifat egla, because the death of this individual came about because of a fight, and tarat mitzora, Rashi mentioned, because of lashon hara, that this person ended up in this position. So now, how do we work all of these? Sota, what's the machlokas in Sota? The plukta, the Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. So you remember, hopefully from the beginning of Sota, the Tanan, we have a machlokas. Hamikane lishto, person has to do in order to have a woman be brought to the point where she has to drink the mesota, or she gets the ceremony of the Sota performed, you need what's called kinoi and stira. There should be a warning from the husband, and then the woman has to violate that warning with some sort of edut that she was nistar, that she was miyached with the individual that he warned her not to be with, but we have no evidence that she actually had an extramarital affair, just evidence that she was nistar ito. So here, tznan, we have a Mishnah. Tzakaneh liishto, Rabbi Elazar omer, mikaneh al pishtayim, umashkeh al piachar al piatzmo. That the kinui has to be done in front of two edim. The warning to the woman that she may not be miyached with any individual has to be done in front of two edim. On the other hand, the evidence of the fact that she was nistera, it can be al piyad echad, can be 1 8, or al piyatzmo, even the Baal can say it. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, amikane al pishnaim, umashke al pishnaim. She says you require full-fledged edut, both by the kinoi and by the stira. The warning has to be done in front of two edim, and the stira has to be done in front of two edim. We need two edim in order for her to drink the mei sota. So what does that have to do with a shigigoto chatat and zdono karet? Right? Because what's the issue over here, right? I mean, fine. So she's a sota, she's not a sota. Doesn't involve necessarily a chiyuv karet. There may be isur aseh or isur lavin that are violated if he doesn't treat her like a sota. He doesn't take her up to Yerushalayim. If some, you know, in that there's no, what's the nafkamina that whether she's sota or not? So the Rashi says over here, if you look in Rashi says that if she refuses to drink the mesota, the Mishnah in Sota says that the woman who refuses to drink this the mesota loses her ketubah. And then it says she loses her ketubah, she's not entitled to the money of her ketubah. So now, what happens in this case, where you have Eidei Kinui, you have two Eidim that say that the husband warned her, and one Eid that she was Nistira. So now you have a machlokas, whether she's classified as a sota or not classified as a sota. Why does that make a difference? Well, if he divorces her, and she says, I will not drink the mesota, and he divorces her, is she entitled to her ketubah or not entitled to her ketubah? That's subject to this machlokas. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that she's a full-fledged sota, she is not entitled to her ketubah, because 1 8 is enough to make her or force her to drink the mesota, and when she doesn't, she forfeits her ketubah. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says that you need two edim, she's not the sota. And therefore, when she divorces her, her refusal to drink the mei sota is not an automatic loss of her ketubah. He divorces her, he has to pay her ketubah. So here you have an issue, and then Rashi always says, im tafas, im tofes memono shel zeh, Then Rashi adds in an additional dimension to this, which is that then she sold her ktubah to someone else. She had sold her ktubah to someone else, so is she entitled to the ktubah? This individual, does he get the money from her or not? If he's to face the money from the husband, is he entitled to keep that money or not entitled to keep that money? And then he goes ahead and is mekadesh and isha with it. That's how you come. Now, you want to talk about, you know, we need Rav Papa to teach us about his dono, right? Karet and shigigal chatat. This is doing somersaults to get there. Right, you can read this. But here, that's the way Rashi explains in the idea that it comes to a case of problem of zdono karet, shigigal chatat, is because we could have a monetary outcome to this machlokas, or a monetary nafkamina to this outcome. I would have suggested possibly that it was premised on a divorce that was mistakenly on a mistaken premise. I mean that the individual divorces the woman thinking that she is a sota. Because she's a sota, he has to divorce her. So he divorces her based on that. Then he finds out later that according to the shita of Rabbi Yeshua, she's not a sota. So it was a, right? There was a taot here. It was a get bit taot. So I don't know why that couldn't be the case or the situation in which you have a zdono karet and shigigal chatat. Because there you have an issue where that the divorce is premised on a mistaken belief that this woman is a sota. And so now you have a get bita'ot, right? That get is bita'ot. If he makes a bita'ot, he'll say, oh, had I known that that was the case, I would never have divorced her. I was just saying, if you want to come up with a case that's dono karet, shigigal chatat, instead of doing like these somersaults to get to a monetary matter, just say, the man said, I'm divorcing you because you're a sota. It turns out she's not a sota. Then you have a get, she goes to marry someone else based on that get, and you have a get that's possibly invalid over here because it was based on the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, not the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. That wouldn't that be a simpler case to come up with? I mean, Rashi has a much more convoluted case of a monetary matter. All right, the next case is the case of Egla Arufa. So Arufat Egla, but Pluto Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, that's not. Mi'ayin hayu modudin. From where do you measure the body, from where on the body, the halal, do you measure to find out which city it's closer to? Rabbi Eliezer Omer mi tiburo, you do it from his belly button. Rabbi Akiva Omer mi chotmo, from his nose. Rabbi Eliezer mi Yaakov Omer ma makom shenaseh halal, right, mi tzavaro. From the point at which he becomes a halal, which is the neck. I mean, that's the assumption Rashi points out, that Rabbi Eliezer believes that a person is killed, right, by severing of the head, you know, being having his head chopped off, so that's the normal way he becomes, that's the normal way a person is killed. Okay, so now, alright, and therefore what? Hearing about the measurement of where the corpse, is it closer to this city or the closer to that city, what's the story? Well, now, based on this, they have to bring an Egla Arufa. So now, according to one opinion, there are going to be two different cities bringing the Egla Arufa. One has the nose closer to him, one has the belly button closer to him. Right? So now, each city, according to depending which who you hold like, so here the Zaken Mamre says one thing, the Beitin says another. They both bring an Egla Arufa now, based on the Zaken Mamre, one based on the Beitin. And then somebody decides that they're going to be Mekadesh and Isha with this Egla Arufa. Right? They want to be Mekadesh and Isha with an Egla Arufa. He's a very romantic guy. Gives her an Egla Arufa for the Kiddushin. That's it. So here you have this Egla Arufa, and he is Mekadesh Egla Arufa. Now, an Egla Arufa is a Surah Ba'ana. So then a Mekadesh Egla Arufa, the Gemara in Kiddushin says, Enu Mikudeshet. Well, it depends. Is it an Egla Arufa, or is it not an Egla Arufa? That will be subject to the Machloket over here. If he's Mekadesh Isha with this Egla Arufa, depends on you really think it's an Egla Arufa or don't think it's an Egla Arufa. Right, Tarat Mitzora. What's the case of Tarat Mitzora? Book to the Rabbi Shimon Rabbonon, it's nine. Ain't no bohen yad, bohen regel, ozen yamenit, ain't no tara olamit. What happens if Mitzoro doesn't have a right big toe, a right thumb, or a right ear? According to the Tanakhama, you can never be mitara Mitzora in this situation, because he's missing the items, or as we said before, dvarim kichtavam. The way the Torah says you have to put the matanot on his ear, on his right ear, his right thumb, and his right toe, big toe. So if you don't have them, you can't be Torah or meat. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Natan lo al mikomo v'yotze. You place them where they should be, right? Where those items should be, you place it there, and that's fine, and then you can be Tahor. Shimon Omer, Natan lo smo v'yotze. Rabbi Shimon says, left side, no problem, just do that. If he doesn't have right, you put him on the left side, because those become his functional, right, thumb, big toe, and ear, because he doesn't have one on the right side, so he does on the left side. So now, what's the, again, nafkamina? Here we're going to deal with Tuma again. According to Rashi, Tumah might be an issue of Nichnas the Mikdash. Although we said before that being Nichnas the Mikdash B'Tumah is an Isser. Yes, it's no karet, but Shigagato is Karban Ole V'Yoreid, not a Korban Chatat. So then you have to go to Tosafot to explain that it's here where this, say this Mitzorah, after such a ceremony, touches Truma, touches a loaf of Truma. Now, if it's Truma Teorah, it has value. If it's Truma Tmeyah, it has de minimis value. And therefore, if he's Mekadesh, the Kohen's Mekadesh the Isha, with such Truma, if it's Truma Teorah, the woman is Nitkadeshet. If it's a Truma Tmeyah, it doesn't have enough value to consummate the Kiddushin. So it'll make a nafkamina whether he's Tamei or not here, or whether he's Nitaher. Here, Ayadei, putting it on the Makom, where his ear would have been, or his thumb would have been, or his big toe would have been. It's Bisharecha. Ze, Leket, Shikha, and Peah. So these are all monetary matters, so you know, obviously the outcome is going to be issues of Kiddushin. But how does it, what's the case of Leket? It's not. Sheishnei Shibolim Leket, Shlosha, Einan Leket. Two, if he drops two, then it's considered leket. If he drops three, then it's not leket anymore. Shechecha, shnei omrim shechecha, shlosha einam shechecha. If he leaves two piles in the field, that is a shechecha. If he leaves three, it's not shechecha. Ba'al kulam beit shamay omrim shalosh de'ani v'arba d'bala bayit. So here you have a machlokas on number three. If the third item is leket, or is it not leket? Is the third pile shechecha or not shechecha? Nafkamina, obviously, does it belong to the Balabait or does it belong to the Ani? And the Nafkamina would be if they're Mekadesh and Isha, either it's the Balabait or the Ani, it doesn't matter whom, but if one of the two is Mekadesh and Isha, based on this Machloket, according to one it is a good Kiddushin, according to the other it is not a good Kiddushin. So that'll be the Machlokes there. Next, Peah. What's the Peah? B'plukto de Rabbi Shmo v'Rabbonon. Tetnan, mitzvat Peah lafrish min hakama. The right way to give peah is while the grain is still attached to the ground and standing. You designate the corner and say, this is peah. Lo yifrish min hakama. If you didn't do it while the grain is still in the field standing, then yifrish min omrim. And you take it out once it's been harvested from the sheaves. Lo yifrish min omrim, yifrish min akrit. If you didn't take it out from the piles that were gathered, then you should take it out from the threshing, the pile in the threshing. When they bring it into the threshing floor, then you should take it from that pile. Ad shelo mircho. Until the time that he's not smoothed out or brought to what we call Gemar Malacha. If you haven't reached the point of Gemar Malacha, then he should be Mafrishit. Mircho, if he already did the Gemar Malacha from Masrot, then he's Maser Venotainlo. He has to take off Masrot and then give it to him. Meaning that if you did it until the point of Chiyuv Masrot, then you give it to him basically pre-tax. You have pre-Maser, you give the Peah, and then you don't have to take off Maser from it. On the other hand, if you already reached the point of Chiyuv Masrot, you first have to be ma'aser the item, and then give it to the anis. You have to then give it after tax. The same payah you have to give after tax, because you got to give the masrot before you hand it to the ani. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omer, af mafrish min ha'isa. That payah can even be, right, can even be up to the point of the isa, even up to the point where you're kneading the dough. So here you have a machloket about how far or how much time do you have, but you can still give payah. So what happens if you're mafrishit from the isa, then there's a question of whether it's really peah or not peah. Because the Tanakhama believes that it is a shinoi. Once you grind the grain and you make it into flour and then you knead it into dough, you have a shinoi. That shinoi is kone. That shinoi is kone, you can no longer get peah from this item. Rabbi Ishmael believes, no, that it's not enough as shinoi, and you can still give peah up to the point of the isa. So, for instance, if an ani comes as tofes, or the individual grants this peah to an ani, is it the ani's money, or is it does not belong to the ani? And here again, you have an afkamina by kiddushin, because does this really belong to the ani or not belong to the ani? Tosus makes a number of points here. I was wondering, why is it that when he does miruach, a kri, that he has to give masrot? We know that peah is patur mina masrot, trumot masrot. It's totally patur mina trumot masrot. How come when he makes it to the point that miruach akri, all of a sudden, we say that it's chayab in masrot? So he says, Tosa says, look at the top, Tosa, afilu man d'amar yitlei breira. Even according to when it says breira, if you say breira, then you say, okay, this part belonged to the balabite all along, and this peah belonged to the ani. So you can separate it out without masrot. Why does he have to take off masrot? Tosa says, that's not true here. Chosman shalei fish peah, velo birra, haya kol, shelo, v'nitka, echayv, akol b'maser. V'shuv lo yipotev. That's what he says, that peya does not exist until you separate it. So since the peya does not exist until you separate it, even though later on you might separate out the peya, there's no such thing as breira, because peya did not exist. Breira only works if we say that originally there was some peya there, because we didn't know what was the peya. So says that's not the case. Peya is non-existent until it's separated. If it's not existent until it's separated, means it belongs to you, and you have to give off, you have to take masrot. The second question that Tosafot asks, what about trumot? How come you have to only have to take off masrot? What about trumot? Trumot come before masrot, why don't you have to take off truma? So Tosafot proposes a number of solutions, and he rejects them all. In the end he says, what's truma? How much do you have to give for truma? Right? Chita achat, poteret et kol kri. It's such a small amount that the Gemara just lets it go. Because Shuma is a davar muat, lo chash lazkir. Maser, that's a real amount that you have to give off. You'll give off 10%, meaning that you're going to give the ani, you end up going to give the ani an additional, out of your own produce, you have to give him an additional 10% now because you have to pay the masrot, and then you're going to have to give him the payah that was equivalent right before you took off the masrot. By Shuma, it won't make such a difference. Masrot means trumot in masrot, but Shuma is chita achat, so we don't, lo chash lazkir, we don't mention. Now, next slide of the Mishnah, Gimel Batei Dinim. There were three courts that were up on the Arabite. Amrav Kana. They both have a sora to their positions. Then he's not killed. He says, this is the svara that I think. And they say, this, no, we think the svara is this way. So if it's a machlok going to Rav Chana, if it's a machlok is from Imisora, or a machlok is in svara, that's not a zakin mamre. And certainly in a case that he has a misora, and they have a zvara, then enu ne'arag, that is not ne'arag. Ad shiomar, what's the case that you get killed for going to Rav Kahana? Kachu be'enai, ve'en omrim mipi ha'shmua. They have a misora, and he says, this is the zvara, I think that's wrong, mipi ha'svara. Teida, how do you know that? Sherelo ha'guvet, akavya ben mehalel. Because they didn't kill akavya ben mehalel. So we have we'll explain this in a second. Who is Akavya? Rashi brings the case down. We'll explain in a second when we get past the next shita, which is Rabbi Elazar Omer. Rabbi Elazar here has to be Rabbi Elazar the Amora, because he's arguing on Rabbi Kahana. So Rabbi Elazar the Amora says, "Afilu hu Omer mipi ha'shmua v'hein omrim kachu be'inenu." Even if he has a misora, and they say this is what we think this vara is, Narak, he's killed. Kidei shado yirbe machlokot b'Yisrael, because we don't want machlokas in Israel. We want there to be a central authority who dictates, and that's it. So then why did they give a kavya b'menhalel? Mipnei shalor alach l'maseh. He disagreed on the theoretical level, but he never gave a psak halacha based on that. So that's okay. That's what you have to horea al yidei lasot in order to be punished. Now, what is the case of Kavya ben Halel? If you look at Rashi, Kavya ben Halel says the case is in Neklach ala chachamim belishkat gazit bedal dvarim mesechet ediot. There were four items that he disagreed with the chachamim in mesechet ediot. Shaya umir livno, he told his son at the time that he was passing away on his deathbed, he says to his son, you have to subject yourself or you have to submit yourself to the dat chachamim. She says, wait, Abba, why? You never agreed to the Chachamim. You never gave in to the Chachamim. Why do I have to give in? He says, the Chachamim heard me pi Rabim, and I heard me pi Rabim. So therefore, for me, I can disagree with the Chachamim, because we both have a Mesorah mi pi Rabim. You, on the other, my son, only heard from me. You heard from a Yachid, and you have the Rabim, Nechavei Yachid, you have to go with the Rabim. But what do you see from here? You see that Akavya ben Halel stood in his position, negative the Chachamim and the Lishkat HaGazit. So why wasn't he put to death? So according to Rav Kahana, he wasn't put to death because he had a misora and the Chachamim had a misora, and that's Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says when you both have a misora, nothing to talk about. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, says no, he should have been killed. But why wasn't he killed? Because only to be a zakin mamre. It's not that you have to disagree with the Beit Din HaGadol. You have to disagree and then act on that. Give ora. You have to be more halacha that way for someone. So he didn't. He wasn't more halacha. He just disagreed with them on that point. And I wanted to suggest here that the machlokas between them, we talked before about the whole idea of zakin mamre, or the reason to punish a zakin mamre with death is to preserve the integrity of the system. Right? If you have people who can disagree with the system, then you have a problem, because then you undermine the authority of the Beit Din HaGadol. So I would think that the machlokas between them is, what are we trying to preserve over here? Are we trying to preserve the misora? Or are we trying to preserve, right, the authority of the Beit Din HaGadol? So according to Rav Kahana, the issue is the Misora. Right? That's, we're trying to preserve via the Mesorah. So if this individual comes along and has a Mesorah, or the argument revolves around Shikula Dat, there's no Zakin Mamre. The time is the Zakin Mamre is where the Beit Din HaGadol has a Mesorah, and he doesn't have a Mesorah, and he's arguing on the Mesorah. There we're afraid, what are we afraid of? We're afraid that that's going to cause people to undermine the Mesorah. So therefore, Rav Kahana says, that's the case where the Zakin Mamre is put to death. In a case where he tries to undermine the Mesorah. He comes with a Shikula Dat against the Mesorah, and he says the Mesorah is wrong. There we put him to death. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar says, no. The point here is to preserve the authority of the central authority of the central Beis Din. So therefore, you're going to put him to death no matter what. God bless you. No matter what the situation is, you're going to have to put him to death to preserve the authority of the Beit Din HaGadol. That means that even if he has a Mesorah, and the Beit Din HaGadol has a Shikula Dat, we put him to death because he's arguing on the central authority. He is disagreeing, and he's going to undermine the authority of the Beit Din HaGadol. All right, now, so Tanan. Kach darashti, kach darshu chavirai. Kach, over here, even though the yud's missing in our mission, it does have a yud, so I was reading kach limadati, kach limdu chavirai. So this is from our Mishnah, the quote from Mishnah. This is the way I was Doresh. This is what they were Doresh. This is what I taught. This is what they taught. So my love, do a Mary Peshma Benumrim, Kachu Benenu. This is, he says it, and our Mishnah doesn't clarify. So maybe the case there is even when he says it, Mitpia Mesorah, and they say that a people Shukla Dat. So that would be a proof to Rabbi Elazar's position that you kill him even in a case where he has Mesorah and they have Shukla Dat. Lo. Could be who Omer Kachu Beinai Veimomim Pieshmoa. No, it could be the other way around. And that's what Rav Kahana will say, that the mission is referring to a case where he is using Shikul Adat, and they are talking about Mesorah. Tashma. Tama Rabbi Yoshia. It's another proof. We're going to try to prove that, who's right here, Rabbi Elazar, Rav Kahana. Shlosha Dvarim Sachli Zira Mi'Anshe Yerushalayim. There were three things that Zira told me from Yerushalayim. These are the three items that he told me. Baal, Shemachal Kinyo Machul. A Baal can remove the kinui that he gave to his wife. And now, if he said to his wife, do not be mistater, right, with some individual, and then before she is nistera, it has to be before she's nistera, he says, oh, I forgive you, I'm removing it, I'm retracting that kinui, he says that works, that kinui machul. But Tosu says, it's dafka kodem shenimchaka megillah, has been before they erased the Megillah. Rashi seems to indicate that it's before the Stira. Right? That it seems to be that the retraction happens before the Stira. And if she was Nisteret afterwards, then it's Enen Eseret Alav. Rashi thinks seems to be that he has to do the Mechila before the Nistera. It seems to say that it has to be before the Mechikat HaMegillah. Alright, so now, Ben Sorer Umoresh, Ratzu Avivi Molim Cholo, Mochlim Lo. And Ben Sorer Umoresh, his parents want to forgive him, they can go ahead and forgive him. And remember, there are two stages in the Ben Sorer Umoresh. There's the Yisuoto. They first bring him to the Beit Din, the first time they give him Malkot, and then the second time they bring him, he's going to be put to death. So over there we said that Avivi Mo have to be Shavim. That they both have to bring him there. They both have to want to bring him here. Now, if neither of them want to bring him there, then obviously, then it's not going to be a case. But over here also, even if he's Choser V'Kilkel, if they want to be Mochel and not bring him to Beis Din, that's their right, not to bring him to Beis Din at that point in time. The last one is Zakein Mamre Shratzu Beitino Limcholo Mochlimno. Again, a Zakein Mamre that is here again, went against the Psak of the Beit Din HaGadol. If they want to be Mochelim, they can be Mochelim. When I got to the Rabban and the Darom, Ashnaim Hoduli, they agreed to two of them. Azakein Mamre, but Lo Hoduli, Kadesh Lo Yerbu Machloket Be Israel. They did not agree with me when it comes to the issue of Zakin Mamre, that you can have Mechila by Zakin Mamre, in order to prevent exactly what we were discussing here, is that Shaloi Ber Machloket B'Israel. There shouldn't be a tremendous amount of Machloket B'Israel. So whose Shita does that go? That sounds much more like Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar's Shita is to prevent Machlokas. That's his whole point. So that's going to be a Tiyufta to Rav Kahana. Tiyufta, Rav Kahana's issue is preserving the Mesorah. So over here, we're not talking about preserving the Mesorah. Here, we're talking about preventing Machloket. You know what I'm talking about? Preventing Machloket. Right, giving the or upholding the power or the central authority of the Beit Din HaGadol over here. When you abrogate that authority, there is no mechila, because otherwise you're going to lead to a situation where you have a tremendous amount of machloket to Israel. So that's a proof to Rabbi Lazar's shita. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosi mitchila lo ayu marbi machloket to Israel. In the beginning, in the good old days, There wasn't so much machloket. The Beit Din shel 71 yoshvim b'lishkat hagazit. He had the Beit Din Gadol up in the Lishkat Hagazit. The shnei bati dinim shel 23. He had the two smaller bati dinim of 23. Echad yoshev al petach harabayit. One of them was at the petach to the Ezrat Nashim. Echad yoshev al petach hazara. One was in the petach to the Ezrat Yisrael. V'shar bati dinim shel 23 yoshvim b'chol ha'yerot Yisrael. And then you have bati dinim spread out across the country in each of these cities. So now they came to an issue where they have a machlokas and need to ask it. So alim beitin shebe Iran. The first thing you do is you go to the Beis Din in your city. Im shamu, if they know the answer, they've heard they have a mesorah about it. Amrulan, they tell them. Bimla ba'im lezeh shesamuch l'Iran. Otherwise they go to, I guess there was some sort of metropolitan type of, or central authority, they over regional. Type of a regional Beis Din. So you have the Beis Din in the cities, and then you have a regional type of Beis Din, similar to the court systems where you have a city court or a state court, and then you have these larger in the federal, more, right, the local courts versus some central part of the larger central authority. Im shamo amrulan. Again, if they know the halacha, they tell them. Vimla ba'in lezeh shel petach harabait. They go to the next up from the regional types of courts. They go up to the one that's sitting on petach harabait as the entrance to Ezrat Hashem. Im shamo amrulan. If they say they know it, then they say vimla ba'in lezeh shel petach hazara. They go to the one that is sitting at the entrance to the Azara is Ratishel, Vamakhta Rashti, Vikakhta Shu Khabirai. Again, it's not here with the Yud, but our Mishnah it is. Kahlim Marati, Vikahlim Du Khabirai. This is what I taught, this is what my friends taught. Im Shamu Amrulam, if they heard it, they tell them. Vimlav Elu Ve Elu Baim Lishka da Gazit. Then everybody goes up to the Supreme Court. This is finally right, the Supreme Court. They get to Lishkat HaZeit, Shasham Yoshvim, Mitamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. They sit there from the Korban HaTamid to the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. That's when they're in session. U'b'Shabbatot, U'b'Yomim Tovim Yoshvim B'Chayel. And then in the Shabbatot and Yomim Tovim, they don't sit in the Lishkat HaZeit, but rather they sit outside the Mikdash. The Chayel, why do they do that? Rashi brings two interpretations of why they sit outside the Chayel. He likes one, he doesn't like the other. Rashi says the first reason is Mikmea Amrav. There are tons of people coming up the regal. They want to see the Beis Din in session. They want to see the Supreme Court in session. So they give you do it an open area instead of in Lishkat HaZeit where there's no room. But, or Inami. Rashi says, Shalo Yu Nirim Ki Yoshvim B'Din. Because if they're in the Lishkat HaZeit, they're, it's like they're doing a din on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but that you're not supposed to do. So Ayudanim, Shalikadim Zeikar. Rashi says that's the main reason. He said they shouldn't be look like they're actually adjudicating a case. They'd just be sitting there on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Right? Nishala Shalabifnehem. The question is brought to them. Im Shamu, if they have a Mesorah Amrulam, they say it. Bimlav Omdim Liminyan. Then they come to a vote, right? They go to a vote. Rabu Amitamim Timu. If the Mitamim say that the rove goes after that says that it's Tameh, then they make it Tameh. Rabu Amitarim, those that say Taor are the rove, the Mitaru. So that's that's basically the process by which you reach the Supreme Court. Misha, this, I think, it almost looks like an editorial comment that was put in the middle of this. Misha Rabu Tamidei Shemai V'Hilal Shloshim Shu Kol Sarcham Rabu Machloket B'Israel. When the Tamidim of Shemai V'Hilal became extensive and they did not properly, they were not properly Mishamesh the Rebbeim Hillel and Shemai, then Machloket started to expand in Israel. Now, I put that in parentheses. I'll come back and explain it because look, the Brexit is going to continue. B'Nasi Torah K'shtei Torot. And then the Torah became like two Torah. Now, a comma. I put a comma here as if there's a Misham Kotvim V'Shochim V'Chol Makomot. From this Beis Din HaGadol, they used to send out letters. Ve'kol mishu chacham v'shafel berech v'dat abriyot nocheh menu. Any person who is a chacham, is wise, is an anav, and people like them, right? They are mekubal al abriyot, right? Hey, dayan b'iro, he should be a judge in the city. Misham, right? Once you're a judge in the city, they used to graduate. Misham alinot ol harabayit. From there you can graduate from the city. I assume that from the city you went to the regional Beit Din. From the regional Beit Din you get an upgrade, right? You get a promotion. You get promoted to the Beit Din that's on Petach HaRabayit. Misham Vazara. Then from the Petach HaRabayit you get an upgrade you get a promotion to the one that sits on the Ezrat Yisrael. Misham Lishkat HaGazit. So that's the way that you get promoted. So that's why I said I think it's interrupting the Breita because the Breita continues, meaning that it has a it seems to me to flow where that this middle piece was added in, or it's almost like an editorial comment. But what's the editorial comment? That Shemai Rabu Tamidei Shemai V'Hilel. So Shemai and Hillel were successful at, let's say, let's call, they're successful. It's a problem that we have today. that we're successful at teaching tremendous amount of Torah, institutionalizing yeshivot, where we have the ability to give Torah to many people. The problem is that when you do that, you also weaken the bond between the Rosh Yeshiva, or the teacher, and the student. Meaning, when it was a smaller type of mesorah, where there were a few students and a Rebbe, then the students who were mishamish the Rebbe, they really knew what the Rebbe said, they really understood what the Rebbe, and they understood the Rebbe's whole approach. So then they could, you know, have a real sense of how the mesorah worked, and what they were giving over. Misharabu talmidim. Once they institutionalize it, once they make it into a situation where there are large yeshivas, where there's a Rebbe, or someone's teaching Torah, and that personal relationship with the students is somewhat severed, then of course they're not mishamish the Rebbe properly, and then that's what you have. You have many times today, right? You have machloket, which even two people said in the same shiur, right? They come out, they're quoting from the Rebbe, they're quoting two different things from the Rebbe, even the two people said in the same shiur, that they had the different conclusions. Because if not mishamish the person properly, you come out with different, right, conclusions. So that's the idea here, that the success of teaching Torah and expanding the students and Talmidim also had a cost to it, which is that Rabu Machloket, and that the Gemara says we saw in other places in Sota and Arabin, the Gemara discusses the fact that Machlokot between Shammai and Hillel were limited. How many times Shammai and Hillel argue is very limited. Talmid Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, there, the Machloket starts to expand, is much more extensive in terms of how many times there are Machlokot between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. It's both a derivative of the somewhat, I would say, the lack of respect that comes, being that Hillel and Shammai had tremendous respect for each other and kavod for each other. On the other hand, the Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, that differentiation or that split in the paths that they took led to machlokot, right, that were more extensive. Even though the Gemara in Erevin discusses the fact that they did not withhold from marrying each other's families or daughters, even though their arguments, right, really revolved around certain issues of ishut. But later on, as things became expansive and Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai became bigger, then that didn't hold either. So you see in the beginning there was a tremendous respect between them, that later on became machloket, and today it's in modern day, it's the same thing. Even two tremendous Talmidei Chachamim that might have kavod one for the other, nevertheless, for their students afterwards, that pirud is much bigger. And also the idea that, again, there's a dilution of the Torah, of the Rebbeim, when you have extensive students, because of the fact that that personal relationship is lost. And we just passed Lag BaOmer, the same idea, but Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had a tremendous amount of students, right? And we see that Rabbi Akiva, who stood for Ba'afka L'Riyachal Kamocha, nevertheless, his students were Lo Nagu Kavod Echad L'Sheni. So you see here that when you have this large number of students, right, he was successful with his, right, he was very successful with his direct talmidim. He was very successful with that. All right, now the Gemara says, "Shalchu mitam, ezu ben olam haba." They sent from over there. Who is a ben olam haba over there, being from Eretz Yisrael? Who's a ben olam haba? Anvatan, someone who's an anav. B'shafel berech. So over here, it's a little difficult because you saw before the Gemara used the shafel berech, and then Rashi in other places says that a shafel berech is an anav. So whether this should be shafel berech, or there should be some other term that's used over here, is you could call it's questionable what the actual whether it should read both of them or it is one. Avatam, who's a shafel berch, shayif ayo, shayif nafik. He bows down when he enters. He bows when he exits. I mean, these are examples of anivut, a certain amount of anivut and kavod that's given. Vigaris be'oraita taridira. He's always learning Torah. He never pats himself on the back for what he's done. They looked over to Rav Ula Bar Abba that he had these midot, he had these qualifications within him. These are the people that are ben olam haba, that their Toratan is umunatan, they live the Torah, it's their entire life. And, but that also, that not only do they live the Torah as their whole life learning Torah, but it affects them, their persona is affected by the Torah. Which is very important, right? That not only is the person a trenes tamachachem, but his persona reflects the Torah that he learns. And therefore he's an anav, shafel berech, shayif ayel, shayif noafik. And that's a person who's a ben olam haba. Right now, the Gemara finishes up the last part of our Mishnah here, which is chazar le'iro v'shana. Alright, so this is a person goes back to his city and then he teaches. He goes back to his city and he teaches, and then he's hore malach halach namaseh. The case, he's not chayav zakin mamre until he gives a psak halacha to someone else who acts on his psak halacha, or he uses the psak halacha for himself and he acts on that psak halacha. Mara says, bishlama yorele achayim. Okay, that makes sense when he teaches others via suke orato. And now they do according to his psak. Mikara la berk talahu. Vashto berk talahu. Before he wasn't chayav mita, now he's chayav mita. In the past, if he gave a psak halacha and somebody acted on his psak halacha, he wasn't chayav mita because he's not a zakin mamre. Now that he went up to the Beit Din HaGadol, they told him he's wrong, and it gives the same psak halacha as somebody else. Now he's a bar katala. But that's not true. Ella, right? She yasik horato, that he acts on his own hora'ah, mikara nami bar katalahu. If he acted on his own halacha from the first place, then he's also bar katalahu. So Mar says, okay, hatina rechadori bechele bedam. I can come up a case where we're talking about chelev and dam. Chelev and dam is a lav in the Torah. So before this, if he ate the chelev or ate the dam based on his psak halacha, so he was over a lav in the Torah. So now, would you come here all of a sudden, and now he goes against, I mean, or he's chayv kares even, in those cases. But when he comes here now, and he eats the dam and the chelev, based on the fact that the Beis Din HaGadol is passing against him, now he's chayv mita. He's chayv mita because he's a zakin mamre. So there, that's what's changed. El ha'echad da'ori b'chayvei mito beitin, when he gives a psak aloch and chayvei mito beitin, mikara nami bark talahu. If he did something that's chayvei mito b'day, he did a avodah zarah, whatever that he did beforehand, right, and he acted based on his psak aloch, he was chayvei mito for following his psak aloch, he was wrong. So now all of a sudden the Beit Din HaGadol tells him he's wrong, now he's chayvei for being a zakin mamre. It's chayvei mito because he violated a din in the Torah, that's chayvei mito beitin. So it says, "Meikara bayatra, hashalob bayatra." I'll tell you the difference. Originally, in the first cases, before anyway, he was giving himself a psak halacha, he required a warning. If you do this, you're going to be put to death because that's a regular case of capital punishment. Over here, hashalob bayatra, no more warnings anymore. He went to the Beit Din HaGadol. They told him he's wrong. Once they tell him he's wrong, he doesn't need a warning. He does this again, he is forewarned. When Beit Din HaGadol passes again, he's forewarned. Don't give that psak halacha. Don't do this again. If he now acts, even without hatra'ah, he's going to be put to death for that action. Because now he's putting to death for zakin mamre, not for the action of, for instance, like say, again, call it arayot, call it avodah zarah. Before, if he did the action, he would require hatra'ah to be put to death. Over here, he no longer requires hatra'ah to be put to death because he's forewarned that he's not allowed to do this.
But now he's going to be getting a much more mental death.
Right, because he'll be punished as a zakin mamre.
I mean,
right? Right, Enochanami. He will get
why?
It. Because he's being punished.
Why don't you just master him on the original issue?
You could. Wait, if you master him, it would work. But I'm saying, without Hatra'ah, you could still put him to death in this case. That's the point.
But what happens in Hatra'ah?
What?
The whole process of Zakin Mamre.
No, you can't. Well, yeah, but Hatra'ah has to be, the idea of Hatra'ah is that you give it right in the Mas, and he says he has to be Mati himself, the Mito. Over here, Zakin Mamre does not require Hatra'ah at all. I mean, the other hatra'ah will be need right at will need to be at the time at the simultaneous with the action that won't need here, right? So now Gemara says mesit, I caught you now. Mesit, we know, does not require hatra'ah. Someone who convinces others to worship Baruch Zera does not require hatra'ah. So now what are you going to do? If he was a mesit before he went up to the Beit Din HaGadol, he didn't need hatra'ah there. My levikah meimar mikara, right? So mikara, he didn't require hatra'ah. And now he doesn't require hatra'ah. Either way, he's going to get the death penalty. So Mar says, Ikari yamar time omikablina mine. Beforehand, if he gives an excuse, or he's able to explain what he did, that it should be mutar in this case, we listen to him and we're talin in the schut. Hashtra yamar time omikablina mine. After he's already been forewarned by the Beit Din HaGadol, what he's doing is wrong. The language that he's using, whatever he's doing, is classified as a mesit. If he goes in and does it again, we don't listen to him. We don't say, oh, I was thinking this. What do you mean you're thinking this? We went to the Beit Din HaGadol. They tell you, you can't think this. That's not the way to interpret it. Once you've known that information, we don't give you any more excuses to get out, and you're our chayav mita. So there's a difference about whether we're melamed zchut on him or not, but whether it's before he is brought to the Beit Din HaGadol or after the time that he's brought to the Beit Din HaGadol. The next Mishnah. Mishnah says, Chomer midivrei sofim midivrei Torah. There's a chomra in din de rabbanon and in din de raita. Omer in tefillin kedei lavor al divrei Torah patur. Zaken mamrei, who says that there is no such thing as Torah, tefillin from the Torah, is patur. Because we say, like we discussed this yesterday, go zil kari bei rav. Go look at the Torah. You don't have to, an individual saying there's no tefillin, won't have to worry about a person like that. That person's not undermining anything because the Torah says it explicitly and we don't need him to tell us that it's not. Well, the problem chamesh totafot osifa divrei sofrim chayav. Right here, how do we know that there are four batim in the tefillin? That's a drashat chachamim. The Torah Chachamim tells us four boxes. Now you make it five boxes, there you're going to be Chayav, Mita, as a Zaken Mamre. Because therefore you see that Divrei Sofrim, the interpretation of the Chachamim, or the Torah Shebaal Peh, really has an impact that is greater than Torah Shebaal Chtav. If you disagree with Torah Shebaal Chtav, that's black and white. You can't be brought as a Zaken Mamre. Torah Shebaal Peh, you want to argue on that we don't have white, black, and white, and therefore you're going to be brought to Din as a Zaken Mamre on that. Amar Rab Elazar, Amar Rab Yoshia, Eino El Chayav El Advar Shikro Mi Divrei Torah For Show Mi Divrei Sofrim. You're only Chayav for something that is explicit in the Torah, but requires the interpretation of the Torah Shebe'al Peh. This is similar to the Shita that we had yesterday. Remember, we had a three-way machloket about what it is. Rabbi Meir, who we spend most of the time on, says that as it is, no, karet, she can go chatat. The second opinion over there is Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Dvar shikro mi divrei Torah, b'shur mi divrei Sofrim. So this is similar to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that Amalaz, Amaraboshi, Ainu Chayla, Dvar shikro Torah, b'shur mi divrei Sofrim. V'yesh b'lo sif, and it has to be an item that you can add on to, v'mosif, goreya. And by adding on, you detract. That's the mitzvah here. But in Lano, there's only one case like that. That is tefillin aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. That's tefillin according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what does it mean, aliba de Rabbi Yehuda? That's somewhat questionable over here. Rashi brings down two interpretations. One he rejects because he says that the Rabbi Yehuda that we're mentioning from Menachot as a din in tefillin is a din in tefillin shel yad and not a tefillin shel rosh. And over here, it sounds like we're talking about tefillin shel rosh. It's a Rashi says Rabbi Yehuda is like the Rabbi Yehuda we saw before. Yesterday's daf, Rabbi Yehuda holds that ikro mi divrei Torah, uperusho mi divrei sofrim. So it's tefillin according to the position of Rabbi Yehuda. We're following the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and the only case you have like that is a case of tefillin. Why? Because tefillin, you have four boxes, you can add on a fifth box. So someone says, wait a minute, what about by ikal lulav? Dikro mi divrei Torah, lulav, the ikar is mi divrei, uperusho mi divrei sofrim. Perish mi divrei sofrim, because we need to know what is a kapot to marim, anafei tzavot, arvei nachal. So they're mentioned in the Torah, we still need the chachamim to teach us what those items are. V'yesh b'lo hosif. He can add on a meme. You have three minim, four minim, right, that are there. The Mosif Goreya. If you add on another meme, it's not a lulav anymore. It's not the arba minim. So my, somebody says, bululav, Mosif Goreya bululav, my spherulan. What do we hold? Eat spherulan, the lulav ain't sarich eged. If you believe a lulav does not need an eged, it doesn't need a tie to tie the three minim together. Haylu chudekai, vahaylu chudekai. Even if you pick up a fourth min, I'm leaving etrog out of this. Even if you pull out a fourth min, right, that is, even though it's bal tosif, it's not goreya because the other three minim stand by themselves. There's nothing that enjoins them together. So true, you're a problem about tosif, but it's not goreya. The others, you still yotze the mitzvah with the others. So that's not goreya. Ah, so what about the other way? So eat svirlan, if you believe that, that tzarech eged, that you do need a rep, goreya v'almeidu. Then it's ruined before you start. You have a lulav that has three minim in it, right? It has the three minim, and then you add a fourth minim, and then you wrap them together. You put them together. Now, when you pick up that lulav, are you picking up the minim? The answer is no, because you're picking up the four minim. Once they're wrapped together, they become a unit that is not the unit that you need to pick up to be yotzei by lulav. So it's already ruined before you start. So that's not mosif goreya. When you add it on, it ruins it. It's ruined from before you start. So Gemara says, vayika tzitzit. What about the case of tzitzit? The ikro mi divrei Torah uperusho mi divrei sofrim. That the tzitzit, the ikar is mina Torah. Tzitzit are mentioned in the Torah, but how do you know what tzitzit are mina Torah? We know these strings that we wear, these knots that we make. How do you know that? That's not mentioned in the Torah. It says that you wear ptil tchilet, right? That you wear a gdilim taselecha. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know how many that should be. That's all mi divrei sofrim. So ikra mi divrei Torah uperusho mi divrei sofrim v'yesh b'lo sif. You can add on strings. If you add an additional string, right, instead of having four strings, you put in a fifth string. If you add that on, it ruins it. So it says, "Mitzitzit, my svirlan." What do you hold in tzitzit? Is svirlan the keshel yon labdo, right? Do you hold the knot that ties it to the beged? Is that kesher, a kesher min haTorah? That's requiring min haTorah to put that knot there. If you do, then ha'iluchudekai va'iluchudekai. If you hold that's labdo, right? I'm sorry, that's the first case. If you hold that's labdo, right? If you hold that you don't need a knot at the top min haTorah, then if you put in a fifth string, you're not doing anything. You have four strings plus a fifth string. So the four strings are your tzitzit. The fifth string is bal tosif, but it doesn't ruin the first four strings because they're not in a single unit together. V'svirlan kesher elyon doraita. If you believe that the kesher elyon is doraita, Rashi claims this is a machlokas in Menachot. Tosis points out over here that there is no such machlokas because the Gemara concludes in Menachot that kesher elyon is doraita. Gemara is just speculating it. Again, if you say the halacha, if you say halacha this way, if you say halacha this way, it doesn't work either way. So ikesha yom daraita goreo v'almedu. If you believe the knot is necessary to make it into tzitzit daraita, if you put five strings there, it's not tzitzit. A tzitzit is four strings, not five. If you knot five strings together, you don't have tzitzit. So you're not being bosif and goreya. It's already ruined before you start. So I says yochi tefillin nami. Why isn't tefillin the exact same case? Yavid arba bate. So what are you going to do? He has four boxes on the top and a shel rosh. And he brings a fifth one, puts an ektim. Each one's independent. You have the four independent and the fifth independent. So that means that the four are your tefillin and they work. You have tefillin. The fifth is bal tosif, but doesn't ruin the first four. V'yavid chamisha batei. If you make five batim to start with, it's already ruined from the beginning. I mean, it's not a tefillin because it doesn't have four batim. So if you come and stick a bayit on afterwards, that does nothing. That's chaluchudikai, chaluchudikai. If you do it mi'ikara, if you do it from the beginning, you put five batim, that's not tefillin. So how do you explain the case? Mar says, no. Amar Rabbi Zeira, bayit achitzon sheino ru'et avir pasul. That the outer bayit that does not see the day, the air, or the light of day, is not a good bayit. So that means that I can put on tefillin, and I have four boxes on my head, I am yotze the mitzvah tefillin. If I come along now and stick an additional bayit on there, I place an additional bayit on there, the true ha'iluchudekai v'ha'iluchudekai. The problem is that the din of Rabbi Zeira, the din of Rabbi Zeira says bayit achitzon, the outer one of the four has to see avir olam, has to be visible, has to see the light of day. When you stick on the fifth box, you're blocking that outer one from seeing the light of day, and it becomes tefillin, they become tefillin psulim. So that's the problem here. When you're mosif, even though it's high lechudekai, you're posel the other four, because the bayit achitzon no longer sees the light of day, because this fifth box is covering it. So that hosafa ruins the tefillin. So that's the one case. The one case where we have, according to this, where you have a case of ikro mitivrei Torah and perusho mitivrei sofim, that and a kol mosif mosif goreya, that if you're about to see, it ruins the whole thing. Only once you've added it does it ruin it. You're yotz the mitzvah till the point of adding. That's a case of tefillin. And as Tosfos points out over here, by the way, that this, all these drashot, what about all the brayta before? We had the brayta with all those drashot of all the things you'd be chayv and zaken mamre for. So he says, obviously, we don't hold to that. Lo chayish. He doesn't worry about that. I mean, that's what Shaul was asking. I remember when we started out on the brayta, Shaul asked, hey, what do you need? What's the brayta doing? What's all these list of these items? So, here you have a shita, Rabbi Yehuda shita, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Oshia, who say, no, that the brayta, yeah, that's nice. There's a nice drashot. But that's not what zaken mamre is about. So they're not chosheish for that brayta that brought all those limudim down. Okay, we'll stop over here.